over 45 years, CWH has proclaimed the good news of the gospel around the world. Today, Pastor Salem recounts the story of Ruth and Boaz and the lessons we glean from it. May this classic sermon remind us how God works in our lives.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here it is, another week gone by, and here we are at your door, in your apartment, or in your truck, or wherever you're at, and we're worshiping the Lord together, the people of God. And the body of Christ is spread all over the world, and we're able to minister and talk about Jesus and sit at his feet and learn of him. And so today we're going to have a sermon on Ruth and Boaz, and you are going to enjoy that. I just enjoy preaching it, and I know you're going to enjoy it. But first of all, I want to read just a couple, three of our letters. We get one here from St. Paul, Minnesota, and they said, we enjoy watching you every Sunday morning. Your show has inspired me a lot because it gives me the strength to go on. I love to hear about Jesus, and that's what keeps me going, and that's what keeps all of us going. We draw all of our strength. You remember the vine and the branches? We draw all of our strength from Jesus. That's where it comes from. Here's Hull, Iowa. Just a short note with my gift. I'm glad I can still give to the Christian Worship Hour. You have all done so much to help me spiritually. I enjoy the new song. It's so comforting for the day. This month's story of love, when there's so much hate in the world, sometimes I read it over and over. God bless you all. So now this person is telling us about the new song. And the new song is a little Bible study we put out every month. And this month, the month of May, it's a little study on Let Your Light Shine, Let Your Light Shine. And this man is talking about one that we had on love. And so if you would like to get a copy of this, be a part of it, you just get your pencil and paper ready, and we'll give you, at the end of the service, we'll give you the address. And it's free and postpaid, and I hope that you'll join us. Here's Coon Rapids, Minnesota. My thanks go out to all of you at Christian Worship Hour. Such a wonderful blessing to be able to worship with you Sunday mornings. I became disabled last year, and I've been able to continue learning about God and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's all through your Sunday program. And that's what you're going to get on the Christian Worship Hour. You're going to get the Bible. That's all we have is the Bible. And that's where the power is. And I always tell the young pastors, preach the Bible. Then you can preach with authority. You can get them to say, thus saith the Lord. And if people don't like it, tough. See, because you got God on your side. And to preach the word, and you can't go wrong. Let's see, what do we got for time here? I think we got time for another one here. Fargo, North Dakota. I welcome the Lord into my life, and it is wonderful. Keep up the great work, and you'll have more followers. May God bless you. And so we're always happy when people accept the Lord. And it is such a simple thing that a child can do it. Don't make it hard. You just, in your own words, you just tell Jesus you're a sinner. And you don't need the thee and the thou and all of that. Just tell him you're a sinner, sorry for your sins, and ask him to come in and take your sins away and promise that you'll turn from the best you can. You'll never be perfect, but you'll try. You'll make Jesus your model. And then thank him and go on your way rejoicing. You're born again when you do that. You're born from above. You're regenerated. You're baptized into the body of Christ. There's a lot of things happen when you have a little simple prayer. And a child can pray it. I prayed it when I was 10 years old. And I was slow for my age. I know I was slow. But I knew how I could pray to Jesus and talk to Jesus. And he heard me and he saved me 87 years now. Oh, that's the only way to travel. Well, we have somebody really special today. We have Bill Edwards. And Bill is on our board of directors. And he has an announcement that just makes me happy every time I hear it. So, Bill, what do you have to share with us?
Thank you, Pastor. The most important decision you will make in your entire lifetime is, where will you spend eternity? The Christian Worship Hour has produced a film, Heart of a Shepherd, that reveals the answer. This is an inspiring, heartwarming story of our own Pastor Salem. But most importantly, it will guide you your family, and your friends to a glorious eternity. The Heart of a Shepherd film is now available through the Christian Worship Hour. May our Lord bless you as you make life's most important decision.
Thank you, Bill. God bless you, and thank you for all your help you give us. And if you want to write in, you get your pencil and paper, and I'll give it at the close of the service. I'll give the address. And I hope of all things that you'll pray for this film, because it is set up, it's an evangelistic film, and it's set up so that it will bring people to Jesus, help them to come to know Jesus. That's all the Christian Worship Hour. Well, we do some other things too. We think of the shut-ins, and we think of the persecuted church, and we think of the children and the young people and all of the body of Christ. But basically, we want to come to Jesus, want you to be born again. That's the story. And that's my preaching, and that's in this film. So you get your pencil and paper, and we'll be ready. But I want to talk about Ruth and Boaz. I'm going to tell you, if you can't get excited about this, let me know, and I'll send you some Geritol or something like that. But this is a story of Ruth and Boaz, and it goes like this. There was a man named Elimelech. He lived in Bethlehem, and that's the same city or the same town where Jesus was born. He lived in Bethlehem. His wife's name was Naomi. They were wonderful Christians. They were wonderful people that loved the Lord. Because of Israel's sin, God sent a famine into the land. And so many people were having it so hard that after a time, Elimelech, along with his wife Naomi and two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, leave Bethlehem. And they decide they're going to go to Moab because they feel maybe they can get a living there a little easier. So they travel eastward to the Jordan River. They cross over the into the land called Moab, a land who didn't know Israel's God. They're in a heathen country, a heathen land. And sure enough, wouldn't you know it, after they'd been there some time, the two sons married two heathen women, idol-worshiping women named Orpah and Ruth. But that's just the beginning of their troubles, because after a while, Elimelech becomes ill. The head of the family, he gets sick and he dies. And then sadly, within 10 years, Naomi loses her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They both died. That left three widows, God-fearing Naomi and her two heathen daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. And so there they live. And after a while, Naomi just filled with sorrow. She doesn't know which way to turn. And she thinks back home in Bethlehem. All of her memories are there. And her heart really is there. That's her roots. That's where she came from. And so she decides that she's going to go back to Bethlehem. Her two daughter-in-laws have come to love Naomi. And they declare that, well, we'll go with you. We're going to go with you. And so they start the journey back to Bethlehem. When they arrive at the Jordan River, which was the dividing line between the two countries, Israel and Moab, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye and turned back. But not so Ruth, not Ruth. We read, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Ruth answers her mother-in-law. And she says that I'm going to stay with you. I'm not going to leave you. And she gave some words that are immortal, some of the most beautiful words in the Bible, maybe in all of literature, is given by Ruth here. Listen to them. They're in Ruth chapter 1, 16 and 17. Ruth declares, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so, if anything but death parts you and me." That last phrase, "if anything but death parts you and me," that's the origin of the marriage vows that we have to this day, "till death do us part," comes from the Bible. I don't know if they know that, but that's where they got it. So there on the east bank of the Jordan River, Ruth declares in no uncertain terms that she's not going to be there. And among the things that she says is, your God will be my God. Your God is my God. That was a switch for Ruth. She'd been raised worshiping the god Chemosh, a god she'd prayed to from since she was a child. She didn't know any other god but Chemosh, but that is until she met Naomi. Then it was she changed her mind and her heart began to worship Jehovah, Jehovah of Israel. Oh, there are so many times that people could settle just to take and listen. If you just live for the Lord and witness for God, they can turn lives. And that's exactly what happened. Ruth is a follower of the God of Israel. So the two, the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, go back to Bethlehem and they settle down. But not for long because they don't have any money and they don't have any food and they have to make a living. And so Ruth starts out. And where does she go? Listen to what the Bible says. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 3. Then Ruth left. She went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Notice, she came to glean. The law says, and for the Jewish people says, that you have to leave grain standing in the corners for the poor so they can come and get something. When you take the fruit from the trees, you can knock it down with a stick, but you can only do it once. You can't do a second time. You have to leave something there for the poor and those who need help. So she happened to come to a field owned by Boaz. She just happened to do that. Boaz is a great man. He's a wealthy man. He's a godly man. He's a relative of Elimelech. And he was a part of the family. He was obliged under Hebrew law to raise up a son to represent Elimelech. So Boaz marries Ruth, and a godly home is established, and a son is born. His name is Obed, and Obed became the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David, and from the line of David came Jesus, and that, my friend, is the story of Ruth and Boaz. It's a beautiful story. Now, what does it teach us? It teaches us a lot of things. For one thing, Naomi never got bitter toward God. I'm going to tell you, when you read this story, you can find that it would have been an easy thing for her to become a very bitter woman. Look at her fortune in life. She'd been starved out of their home in Bethlehem because of the severe drought. She was a stranger in a foreign land, and she didn't worship her God. She had her husband, and then she'd seen her husband get ill, fade away and die. She's seen her two sons, Malan and Chilion, both of them die young. Yes, had she wanted to, she could have been a bitter, angry person, I'm telling you, but that wasn't Naomi. No. In the time of sorrow, in the time of sickness, she saw the hand of God at work and the love of God. She could have been sour, bitter woman, but not, that wasn't Naomi. She was genuine. She reverently saw that the hand of God was at work in her life. She submitted to it in a sweet and a gentle way. You know, the troubles and trials of life always do that to us. It makes us better or it makes us bitter. It makes us good and drives us from God or drives us to God. It never leaves us the same, the circumstances of life. And some of you, I'm sure, are going through hard times right now. How are you going to react? Will you bow your head and bless God? Will you submit to His providence? Or will you strike out at God? And will you be hard and bitter and profane? The storms of life hit Naomi. They're going to hit you too if they haven't already done so. And listen to her. The Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full and the Lord brought me home empty. But she, in spite of all that, still God is her God. She will never be moved except to get closer to God. That's the way Job was. Job said long ago, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, Job is saying, when the Lord gives, we bless his name. When God takes away, we bless his name. I remind people of that, and whenever I have a funeral, you bless him when he gives and you bless him when he takes, and that's the way Naomi lived. She was that kind of a person. She lived it out, and she was genuine. There are many storms in life, not just the literal blizzards and floods, but there are other storms of life we face. The death of a loved one, maybe. A broken marriage, a wayward child, a financial disaster, a broken love affair, misunderstandings, false accusations, loss of health, painful suffering. The result is always the same. It doesn't matter what the trial is. It doesn't matter what the tempest is or the storm. The result is always the same. You're going to get closer to God or farther from God. You're never going to come out of the storm the same as when you went in. And let me tell you something else. It is our choice how we're going to come out. It's our choice if we're going to be bitter toward God or we're going to be better and love God. The same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay, and you decide what you're going to do with it. I read about a woman, and a terrible illness was coming upon her. And she says, there's going to be an awful picture of your life painted. And she says, I know it, and I'm going to choose the colors. I'm going to trust my God. And that's what Noah, and that's what Naomi did. So today, dear friends, maybe you are in your trials and troubles. I don't know, but you just trust Jesus. God never forgot Naomi. And all of that time, he was watching over her. And he took care of Naomi, and he took care of Ruth, and he always does. Yes, Naomi must have wondered how we're going to get along and what are we going to do. But she just gave it all to God and leaned upon God, the wonderful grace of God. And now look at here what happened. You know how it all ended with Ruth and Boaz? Ruth found a husband. Ruth had a son. His name is Obed. Obed was the grandfather of King David. That means Naomi became the great-grandmother of the great King David. And Naomi, the daughter-in-law, that Moabite woman who was not a Jew, she was a Gentile. The very daughter-in-law became a part in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And that's the grace of God, the beautiful, wonderful, lovely, wonderful grace of God, that it doesn't matter where you are or how bad you've been off, you come to Jesus, and he'll use you, and he'll take you, and he'll mold you, and he'll bless you, and he'll help you. And don't turn him away. Don't walk away from him. Oh, my friends, have you ever forgotten that maybe you think God has forgotten you, and you don't know where he's at, and you don't see him, and you don't feel him. You maybe don't feel him. Maybe you never will feel him, but you'll have peace. And you just read the Psalms and read that Bible and read the Gospel of John or read whatever you want. Read the Bible and lean upon it and trust upon it, and you're going to find there's a wonderful God there. And all of these things that are happening, and Naomi couldn't understand why everything happened to her. And yet, she didn't have that scripture, but St. Paul gave it a little bit later on. He said, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who those are the called according to the purpose. That simply means that while the circumstances of life, they may be good and they may be evil. They may be hard and they may be bitter, but they're working for good. And you say, I don't see any good in them. Maybe you don't. Maybe you'll see it a little bit later in life. Maybe you'll never see it in this life. Maybe you'll wait until you get to glory. And then we'll see that it was all right. Everything now might be like the bottom side of a tapestry. There are strings and thread going every which way, and they all clash colors, and they don't make sense, and they look ugly. But you open it up, and you lay it down, and you look at the top side, and there's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And that's the way life is. Don't try to figure out everything. There are some things in life you will never understand, but we go by faith and not by sight, don't we? And we love Jesus, and he blesses. We love him, and we take. We bless him. We love him. And like Job said, though he slay me, I will trust him. I'll never doubt God or question God. And so then we see this wonderful thing. Don't miss out seeing that God is always there. When we were, look at Ruth, for instance. It says here in the second chapter in the third verse, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. She happened. It just happened. What if she'd turned right instead of left? What if she'd gone south instead of north? What if been the case, never would have met. And Bethlehem, outside of Jerusalem, there's what we call shepherd's fields. It's a huge meadow, beautiful meadow. And there they work and there they farm. And in that whole meadow, she goes to one spot, Boaz. How can it be that wonderful God? He always watches over us. He guides us and just put things in his hand. God led Ruth that morning outside Bethlehem. God placed her in just the right spot at the right time so that Boaz would notice her. And she was beautiful and she was young and he was a relative and the rest is history. And so that's the way we have to live. When we live close to Jesus, trying to please him and all we do and say, when we stray from the path of righteousness and doing so and deny Jesus, we can always come back and repent with bitter tears. And he receives us. He will never turn us away. And that is what Naomi did. And that's what Ruth did. They listened to God and they let God lead their life. And maybe today, friends, you've drifted away from the Lord. Maybe you drifted away from God. Maybe you even knew God through years and then you've drifted away. You got something up, got upset about something. There's some trial or some problem and you drifted away and you feel it now that you're way off and God isn't there at all. But God says, if you come back to me, God wrote this, had this written in the book of 1 John, and it's a book written to Christians. It means after Christians fail, after Christians sins. And I'm going to tell you, dear friends, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're still going to sin. There's nobody perfect but Jesus. We strive for perfection, but we can't, and we're never going to make it till we get home with Jesus. And so when Jesus tells us in John chapter 1, 1 John 1:9, if we confess those sins, he's faithful and just to forgive those sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you've drifted away, you can come back. And you say, yes, but I've drifted so many times. Well, geez, God tells us the grace of God is greater than all of our sins. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The wonderful, beautiful grace of God. But maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you never met him, you never had him in your life, and you can have him right now. And there's something saying, you're just something in your heart saying, I want Jesus. I do want that peace. I want to belong to Jesus. And you just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake those sins the best I can. I won't be perfect, but I'll try. And thank you, Jesus. If you made that prayer, you're a child of God. You're going to heaven. The way to heaven is through a person, Jesus. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets into heaven but by me. Me. Who's me? Jesus. The way to heaven, the way to God is through Jesus, through a person. I believe in the church. I spent all my life in the church. I believe in baptism, communion, and all the rest of it. But there's only one way to come to heaven, and that's through a person. Don't come by works. You can't work your way into heaven. And if you make that decision, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And I hope that you'll send us a gift to help us in the work. And you say, well, I don't know if you'll use it. I don't know if you'll spend it right. We're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, every penny we get and every penny we spend. And so that's exactly what we do. We will use it in the furtherance of the gospel, and that's what we'll do with your gift. If you want the new song, you'll give us that. If you want to have one of these films, they'll send it off on a free will offering basis. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And oh, our shortwave people, we think of you all the time. We pray for you. And now I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Kenya. Every week we pray for one of the areas where the Christians are being persecuted. So that's what we're going to do now. Dear Heavenly Father, we're praying for the persecuted people, in Christians and brothers and sisters in Kenya. Help them not to get discouraged. Help them not to give up. Help them to know that they're serving you, and they're a challenge to us, and they're encouragement to us, and it gives us, helps us to be better Christians as we see them. Oh, bless them and their little children. Lord, we pray for the shut-ins, people that can't get around anymore. Some of them are lonely. Help them to know you said you'd never leave them or forsake them. You're right there, and we're there to worship with them. And they're part of our body, and they're not forgotten. They're part of us, and they're praying for us, and that'll help us. And so I pray for the young people. I pray for the children, and I pray that you'll be pleased in all we do and say. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, once again, let me give you that address. We've got to hear from you, and what you have to do is say, Dear Lord, should I help this? Is this ministry something you're using? Is this something you want me to support? And if so, write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And so then next week, we'll be back again, Lord willing. Maybe the Lord will come back. Maybe he'll take us home. We don't know. But otherwise, we'll be back. And you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And always remember, God loves you. You say, I'm not worthy of that love. None of us are. None of us are. That's the grace of God. Grace means unmerited favor. He gave us something we didn't deserve. And that's the love of God. He loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. God knows that I love you. I preach my head off. It does not very good preaching, but it comes from the heart, and it's all because of love. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. And Lord willing, next week.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.